morning to each one. Very good to be with you all. Thank you for everything. Everyone has participated to the service so far. Tremendous blessing. So I'd like to call on a brother here to pray. Who has the mics here? Yeah, Logan, maybe your dad will just pray for us. Would you, Ed? Why don't we stand? Stand and have a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you here for the brotherhood and all that you do for us, and we ask that you can give us thankfulness during a time as this, through society and the hostility and people that tend to be ungrateful for the gifts that you bless them with through physical life and reject what you offer in spiritual life. And we ask here that you can that you've met all of our needs physically, and we all have spiritual needs, Lord, and we ask that you can use Aiden here, Brother Aiden, and use his word to touch our lives and give us direction and allow us a mind that's discerning to discern how you want us to apply it in our life, to be able to act upon what you have, that the next hour and a half wouldn't be in vain. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So yeah, again, welcome. Tremendous joy to be with you all. If you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, I have a verse there I'd like to read. There's a verse here in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, that I'd like to read. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So maybe we can read the next verse. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Somehow God made it really clear to me what verse I was supposed to give some thought to here this morning. And is there a mic over on this side? So where is Melvin Schmucker sitting? I thought of Lucas or Nicholas. Can you get that mic to Nicholas? And is Nicholas there with you? So Nicholas, can you tell us what I just said? Can you tell us what I just read here? And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise?
Do unto others as you would want them to do to you.
Yeah, thank you. Is that what that verse says? Thank you. So Nicholas was. So what is kind of the spiritual meaning of that, though, Brother Allen and some of us here? What would the spiritual meaning of that be? Joe, some of you? Do unto others is it's really hard to kind of, that is spiritual, isn't it? Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I just, I just want you all to know that I have failed in this verse much in my life. I've failed here. And so this isn't a message for you all. It's for me. But as you would that men should do to you, do to them also likewise. And when we go into Matthew, it talks about, this sums up all the law. It says this sums up all the law and the prophets. And so, as we think of this verse, I wonder how many scriptures in the New Testament in the Bible are fulfilled when we keep this verse. I wonder how could we figure out how much of the Bible is contained in this one principle, in this one verse. Picture yourself that you come up here and you're the one that's speaking. How do you want everyone else to relate to you when you're up here speaking? How do you want people to engage themselves when you plan something? I just this morning I sat there and I was able to reflect on my own life and all my shortcomings, and I was able to reflect on every area of life, and it seems like this verse, it just seems like it gives direction to almost every area of life, to almost every relationship, maybe not so much with God, but every other relationship. And as you would that men should do to you, do you so also likewise to them. To them likewise. Is there a chance that maybe we expect to be treated nicer than we treat others? I think happens to me, that I expect everybody else to do things that I don't do for them. And I'm not sure how we end up there. As you would that men should do to you, do you also likewise to them. Maybe we can talk about, we're just going to, I don't know, it's really, I read this verse in the Greek, in several different Greek translations, and I don't read Greek all that well. But you know, there's really no words in here there's really no words that need to be defined. What can we explain about this verse here? You even go to the Greek language. There's not really one word here in this verse that you need to break down and define. I mean, the message is just so simple, and it's so clear. And what area of your life doesn't this principle affect? What area? I just want to read an account with you here to open up this morning as a bit of a foundation. Zeke was a slave who lived on a big cotton plantation in Mississippi many years ago. This was a story that was being related to some young children. He was probably no older than your father, Hannah and Joel, but already he had the body of an old man. His back was stooped from hard labor, and his hair was gray. He was a hard worker, dependable and well-liked by everyone. Zeke's master, Mr. Cobbs, was not the worst of his kind, but he was not always a good master. He made his slaves work very hard, and his overseers beat anyone they thought to be lazy. The slaves lived in crude huts that were difficult to keep clean and got just enough food to keep them alive. There came a time when a restlessness crept over Mr. Cobb's slaves. They were tired of working themselves to death and tired of being hungry all the time. There were whispers of a rebellion, killing Mr. Cobb's and his overseers and taking over his plantation. Every Sunday, the slaves walked far into the forest to have a church service, for Mr. Cobb's had forbade them to sing within his hearing. One Sunday, when the slaves gathered for their worship service, Zeke was surprised to see a white man slip out from behind some bushes and stand in their midst. "Friends," said the white man, "my name is Carl Wilson, and I have come to tell you there is a better way to freedom than rebelling against your master." Mr. Wilson told them about a plan for getting slaves to Canada and freedom. Zeke felt some of the tension and restlessness in the air. Felt some of the tension and restlessness in the air change to excitement and hope. Somehow Mr. Cobbs found out about Mr. Wilson, and he gathered the slaves together for a talk. Mr. Cobb's face was dark and stern as he faced the crowd. His overseers stood beside him, whips in hand, their eyes glittering at all the black faces. Mr. Cobb's marched back and forth shouting, "I have heard a report about a white man helping slaves escape from their masters. Now I want you all to know something. If any one of my slaves runs away, from me, he'll get caught. Do you get that? We'll use dogs and horses and we'll catch him. He'll be dragged back here and whipped within an inch of his life." The veins on Mr. Cobb's forehead stood out and his face was red. "Do you hear me?" he yelled. "And now," he snarled, his voice dropping as he leaned toward them, "I want something to be very, very clear to you. Zeke, come here." He motioned toward Zeke. "Yes, you," he hollered. He hollered impatiently as Zeke hesitated. "Now, everyone look here at Zeke," he continued when Zeke was standing beside him. "This is what I want you to understand. If any one of you attempts to escape from this place, you will not only be putting yourself in danger, but you'll be putting good old Zeke here in danger too. Hear that? Now, you won't want poor old Zeke here to get a whipping, would you? Y'all like Zeke, don't you? He's a good man and a good worker, and you wouldn't want to see him hurt, right? But let me tell you something here, Mr. Cobb lowered his voice some more, and his eyes sparkled in his reddened face. "The minute one of you runs off, I will hold Zeke responsible. Yes, you heard me. I'll hold Zeke responsible for the runaway. That means he'll get whipped within an inch of his life." A shudder went through the crowd of slaves, and no one spoke as they went to their work. Zeke spent a lot of time praying that day. "Oh, Lord, help us," he prayed over and over. A few days later, four slaves ran away. Zeke had heard they were going to go, and they had begged him to go with them. "No," Zeke had said, shaking his head. "If I runs away, then someone else will get my whipping. I stay." As soon as the runaways were missed, Mr. Cobb sent men on horses with dogs after them. Then he called all the slaves in from the fields to watch Zeke get the promised punishment. He took Zeke's shirt from him and chained him to a post. Again and again, the cruel lash came across his back. It whistled through the air and sliced into his flesh until Zeke lay unconscious and bleeding. "Now let that be a lesson to the rest of you," Mr. Cobb shouted. Here, Grandpa paused in the story. "What do you suppose Zeke did in revenge for the unjust whipping he had received from Mr. Cobbs?" he questioned. "Do you think he took a hammer and smashed something?" Grandpa's eyes twinkled at Hannah. "Probably not," Hannah said. "You're right," Grandpa said. A few weeks after Zeke had recovered from his whipping, Mr. Cobbs was out for a walk when he was bitten by a pit viper, a poisonous snake. No one heard his calls for help. His legs swelled horribly, and he almost fainted from the pain. Eventually, he became so weak and dizzy that he fell to the ground, no longer able to walk. Zeke, too, was out for a walk, and he happened upon his master lying on the ground. You know, Zeke had a choice to make. He could walk away from the man and let him die. No one would ever know that he had been nearby. He would have been avenged for the mistreatment he had received from his master. But you can guess what Zeke did. He rushed to the stricken man's aid. He took Mr. Cobb's pocket knife and made a cut on the place where the snake had bitten. Then he put his mouth on the cut and sucked up a mouthful of blood, and he spat it out on the ground and sucked out another and another mouthful. Oh, Grandpa, explained Hannah, why did he do that? Yuck. He was sucking the poison out of the wound so that Mr. Cobb's would not die, Grandpa replied. This he continued until he was quite sure he had sucked out as much poison as he could, and Mr. Cobb's did not die. Grandpa looked first at Joel and then Hannah. How do you suppose that made Mr. Cobb's feel? I would think it should have made him ashamed, declared Joel. But he sounds like such a nasty man that I don't know. I guess he did feel ashamed, said Grandpa, because the story goes on to say that he eventually became a Christian. And I think a big part of the reason was the way Zeke showed him love. And after he became a Christian, he freed all his slaves. There's a little account that I had wanted to read here this morning as we again consider these amazing words here and for just a few moments. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise to them. Are these words almost too simple to even talk about this morning or to even think about? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 says almost the same words. It says, therefore, in all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And the picture here in Matthew is that the writer of Matthew is saying that this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the conclusion of the matter. Where these words are placed in Matthew gave me something to think about. They're placed right before the narrow gate and the straight gate in verse 13 and the wide gate. And they're placed in part of the paragraph or the point or the subject matter of praying and what we ask. And it's really interesting. It almost seems like is Christ telling us here that our prayers will be answered according as to how we practice these words. Is that possible? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you also even to them. Is it possible that God answers our prayers according to how we live these, how we practice these words? The other thing, these words are direction in our relationships and our decisions and in every area of our life. And I had to think of these words here. I want to throw these words out too. And the king shall answer, Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And it seems like these scriptures teach us that what we do does matter. God pays attention to what we do. And what we do to anyone else, we have the privilege of doing it to Christ. The opposite is true as well. When we misuse someone, we're misusing Christ. The poor cannot repay you, but God has promised that He will bless you for what we do to others. Now, these words here again, I'll just try to write the title up here. I'm not sure if I know who gave, who someone has called, someone has called these words the golden rule. And I'm not sure who gave these words that label, and I think it's a good label. I'm not trying to better the label. But somehow I think it goes a little deeper than just being golden. I think as we study the life of Christ, it seems like that's how He lived. I feel like it was a principle that guided His life, the rule of Christ. And I believe these words are a principle that will guide our life. And, you know, when we think of, there's just so many areas, and maybe we can get a little more practical here later. But I do want us to think, when we think of these words, think of all the goodness that has happened because of these words. Can you imagine all the good things that have happened among mankind? And they've come from this principle or from these words. And I had to think also of the unlimited potential. The unlimited potential in these words. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. These words are filled with unlimited potential for all of us, for everyone. And I also had to think of, is it possible? For some reason, my mind went to eternity. And I had to think, is it possible that maybe someone that's in eternity now would give everything to have the opportunity to once again be able to practice these words? To be able to once again practice these words, and it's forever too late. The one way we can look at these words is that we can take the initiative. Many times, probably in my life, I've waited till there was a pinch or a need, and then we've tried to follow this and to some degree, not the way I would like. But I think that what would happen if we as a church would all take these words and we would take the initiative in them. We would just take these words and take the initiative to just do good to all men. And I think that's our heart. I'm not wanting I want this to be a freeing message, not condemnation in any way. We're all human, we all have room for higher ground. But, you know, I had to think, it gets practical. It seems like, you know, when years ago when we started as a church, we had a bit more of this, probably in our midst in different ways. And I'm sure a lot of it's my fault that some of that has left. And I'm taking responsibility for that. But I had to just think, you know, we were, and if I can just get a little practical here. At one time, when there was a newborn, my wife had the responsibility of making sure there were meals. And you know, when the church was small, it seemed like everyone knew that they. I'm not sure what all it was, but as the church grew and got bigger, it seemed like you almost had to call and ask people to take a meal. And yet it seemed like when time comes around, there's always a blessing to receive the meals, but when it's time to give them, it's a little harder to do. And it gets really practical, but what we want others to do for us, why wouldn't we take the initiative and just do it for them and be ready to do it? There's just areas in the church that I feel like we want to consider these words. Do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And I don't know who it was that didn't on the meals. I'm just trying to bring it home to us here. I'm just trying to be practical. We're human, and the fire can die down and we can become so selfish. I am still so selfish in so many ways. But I'm just trying to use a few examples. I think of how the young ones here were at one time, we're all together. And now you see more of where these are together and those are together and whatnot. And those are all burdens. And I just want us all in all those areas with who the people we're friends with, the people we like, the things we say. You know, do we really want people to go tell others bad things about us? No one wants that, but yet we turn around and do it. We do that. We don't follow these words. We go tell other people things that we shouldn't, and then we get upset when they do it to us. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise to them. Another thing these words teach us is they turn the focus into my own heart and into my own life first, into my own conduct. Before I think of everyone else, I can look at my own life. It's just astounding to me how simple these words are and how deep and how profound and how much guidance and direction they give us in every area of our life. Is it possible that we hold others to a higher standard than we do ourselves? Seems like it is. Seems like I've done that myself. Someone has said, what is hateful to yourself, do not to someone else. Yeah, it's really interesting that many times we miss it, but when someone does something to us, it bothers us. But when we think over our own life, we're probably doing it too. It's amazing how that all works. And these words have a tendency to help us see that in our own lives. I honestly feel like I kind of feel like these words are, in a lot of ways, they're self-explanatory, and I don't know that I have a lot to say here today about them. The ethical principle that one should behave towards others as one would have others behave towards oneself. I think it was Abraham Lincoln. If I remember right, I remember reading that he used this principle as he discussed slavery. It's very interesting. He says, as I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master. The next year he declared, he who would be no slave must consent to have no slave. It's amazing how it just keeps going in my mind, and we could start naming areas in our lives. And it just goes and goes and goes and goes. How how much direction these words give to our, to us mortal men, to mankind. Let's just read some of God's Word here in light of some of these words. I'm just going to read some of these scriptures. You can just listen. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good to lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Had to think of this scripture here in Galatians. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I know I have felt enough in this area that you could say that I shouldn't be up here talking about this. I know that could be said. But I do want to ask us if we as a church would consider these words, and that we would consider practicing them in a greater degree, and that we would allow this principle to govern our lives. I think that if we do that, that we will become more like Christ. I really do. And I know that I need that in my own life. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Jesus, I had to think of this scripture. Jesus says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And I guess the reason I share that verse is that we would all look at our own lives here this morning as we consider these words. Who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Jesus says this. We could talk about Jesus' life here the rest of the day. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus lived this rule of Christ that we're talking of here. The title of the message today, that was the life of Jesus. He lived it. So we can study his life. The story is told of someone that looked like he was from a heathen tribe. It was late one night. He was in a hurry and he was cutting through someone's property and he was caught close to the barn. And the person that owned the barn accused him of wanting to steal his horses. And this heathen man claimed up and down that he was innocent, that he was just on his way home and he was in a hurry and he cut through the property. But the man that owned the barn wouldn't let him go. He tied him to a tree and he cut off his right hand. And it was quite some time later, this same man that owned the barn was out quite a ways away. And he got caught for the night. And he couldn't make it back. And in this village said, if you stay out at night, the wolves will eat you and will get you. And trying to remember some of the detail here of the story. But so they took him in and they fed him and they gave him a bed. And this man went to sleep. And the next morning he was woke up by the man that he had cut his right hand off. And he saw his face and he recognized him. He thought he was going to be a dead man. But this man said that this man just extended mercy to him and said that, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do back to you what you did to me. But for no reason at all, he had been falsely accused and he had cut off his right hand. And those are just powerful stories, and we can go to the Anabaptist. I thought of Dirk Willems, and I thought of different accounts, and there's a lot more that could be said here about these verses today. But I think I'd like to give us time to think about them. And in my own life, what are the things that I need to do different in my own life? And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. May we just, you know, when there's an activity and we're not part of it and we can, it reaches, I'm not sure how practical to get or what to say. I just know it'll change us as a church. It'll change my life. It'll change our family life. It'll change us as a church if we really allow these words to become the motto or this principle to guide our lives, if I can say it. And I guess that's my plea here today, that we as a brotherhood, we as a church, as a sisterhood, that we can find the grace to live these words in a great way. May God help us. And I just, again, if there's anyone here, if there's anything I've done that is not in accordance with these words, I just ask forgiveness. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Someone has said, the man who with breath lent him from heaven speaks words that soil the whiteness of a life is but a murderer, for death is given as surely by the tongue as by the knife. The man who with breath lent to him from heaven speaks words that soil the whiteness of a life is but a murderer. For death is given as surely by the tongue as by the knife. So yeah, the Lord bless you. The rule of Christ. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. It's interesting. These words really can't be spiritualized away. They affect every area of our lives. So the Lord's blessings. Pray that I can live these words in a fuller way.